الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا كريما. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, indeed we have gathered over here for a very, very great objective and a very great purpose. This objective, this purpose that we have gathered here for is our islah, our spiritual reformation and rectification. If the islah of a person is made, if a person is corrected, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that such a person indeed has been successful. He has attained true success. So many verses of Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Certainly successful is that person that made his tazkiyah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That successful is that man that has made his tazkiyah. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, where Allah Ta'ala mentions the qualities of the believers that are successful. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. One tafsir has been made, one is of zakat. Another tafsir has been made that person that continuously he makes his tazkiyah. So these are all people that have been regarded as successful. But in this path of tazkiyah, one of the greatest obstacles that come about is gunas and sins. This is the greatest obstacle. So the Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that for a person to overcome this great obstacle of gunas, of sin, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi says that a person should do three things. The first thing Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created every person with great himmat, with courage. This courage and this himmat a person should use in trying to gain close proximity to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This Hazrat makes mention of this. He says that on one occasion, there was a cat. So this cat was always troubling all the rats that were in that area, always eating up the rats. So nevertheless, the rats, they got together. They said that it cannot continue in this manner. So we got to now get together, come up with some plan that how we can bring an end to this cat. So they said that we need to have vitamins. And this vitamin also, we need to import. It's in the UK. So nevertheless, they imported their vitamins. And now they took their vitamins. After taking vitamins, they had become strong. So when they were strong now, so they had a big mashwara. In this mashwara, they had decided that how are we going to attack the cat? So some of the rats said that we will catch the cat by the ear. Some said by the tail. Some said that we will go into the skin of the cat and we will bite onto the heart of the cat. So nevertheless, they had planned at a particular time, on a particular day, we will go ahead with this plan. On that particular day, they went ahead. And it so happened that on that day, the cat was ill also. It had typhoid fever. It had fever, very, very weak on that day. So nevertheless, the cat also got a shock. What's happening? All these rats are coming towards me. All the time, they're running away from me. Today, they've got so much himmat, so much of courage, they're coming towards me. In spite of its illness, in spite of its weakness, all the cat had to do one meow. And that was sufficient. All the rats were gone. So here Hazrat mentions that why? The heart of all the rats put together cannot be equal to the heart of the cat. How powerful is the heart of the cat? All the hearts of all the animals of the jungle, they are nothing in comparison to the heart of one lion. One roar of the lion, all the animals of the jungle have dispersed, they are gone. Because that is how powerful the heart of the lion is. The hearts of all the kuffar of the world, they are nothing in comparison to the heart of a single mu'min and a single believer. And the hearts of the mu'mineen and the believers, cannot come close to the heart of the anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. So we find that this heart which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us, that courage which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed, so a person has to use this courage. And then only a person will reach his objective. The second thing Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, he says that a person that cannot give up a particular guna, he cannot give up a particular sin. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi says, read two rakats of salah. Salatul hajat. And thereafter make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, this is a particular guna that I'm involved in. Give me the tawfiq, give me the courage of giving up this guna. So this is the second advice of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, that read Salatul Hajat. The third advice of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, he says, go to the awliya. Go to the pious friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And request the awliya and the pious friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that make dua for me. I'm involved in a particular guna, I'm involved in a particular sin. That make dua for me, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives me the tawfiq of leaving this guna. And another very instrumental ibadat that will assist us in giving up these gunas, this is the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That this will assist a person in reaching his objective and coming close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the verse of the Quran Sharif that I just recited, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O people of Iman, make the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala abundantly. If you look at the various fundamentals of deen, the various forms of ibadat, we will find that there is a restriction to it. For example, salah. That salah has been made obligatory only 5 times a day. The number of rakat, this is also restricted. Fajr, you can only read 2 rakats. A person says that today I want to read 3 rakats, I want to make extra ibadat. His ibadat is not even accepted. His fajr salah is not even valid. So the number of rakats is also valid. The number of salah for the day this is also restricted. The number of rakats are also restricted. When it comes to the aspect of zakat, this is only once a year and only 2.5%. Over and above that, a person can give nafil. But farz zakat is restricted to once a year and only 2.5%. When it comes to fasting, that the farz fast, this is only in the month of Ramadan. And this is only for 30 days. Over and above that is nafil. But when it comes to the aspect of the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, here there is no restriction whatsoever. Here Allah ta'ala says, make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala in abundance. That whether a person has wudu or he doesn't have wudu, here it will not matter. A person is on taharat, he is not on taharat, this will not matter. Here make the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in abundance. Here we find, if we look into the life of our akabirin, how much of dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala our akabirin used to make. It is mentioned on one particular occasion, somebody asked Hazma Rashid Ahmed Gangoi Rahmatullahi. This was in the latter part of his life. So they asked Hazma Gangoi Rahmatullahi, Hazrat, how much of zikr do you make? So Mawlana Gangoi Rahmatullahi mentioned, he says that the time of making zikr has already passed. This is the latter portion of my life. Now I've become very, very old. Hazma Gangoi Rahmatullahi day after said, he says, in one breath, this is something for us just to admire, just for us to get a glimpse, just to get an idea of how much of zikr our akabirin used to make. Not that we should try this. Our zikr should be under the guidance of the sheikh. This is just to get an idea. He says, in one breath, I recite kalima tayyiba 500 times. This is how much of zikr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told sahaba on one particular occasion, he said, oh my sahaba, should I not tell you that which is the best of a'mal, the best of actions? That action which is accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That action that will elevate your stages. That action that is more superior than gold and silver. Sahaba said, certainly, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that action that is more superior than jihad in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Said, certainly, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dhikrullahi azza wa jal. This is the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is superior to all these actions. A person that spends some time in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Another sahabi came up to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulallah, there are so many farais of deen. There are so many wajibat of deen. Give me some advice. Let me act upon something that is very, very concise. But it is all encompassing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La yazalu lisanuka ratban bi dhikrillah. That your tongue should always be, constantly be engaged in the dhikr, should be wet with the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that how much of dhikr, udhkurullah hatta yaqulu majnoon. Make so much of dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that people say that this man has gone insane making the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is how much of dhikr a person should make. It is mentioned on one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri rahmatullahi alayhi. He came to visit Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So after meeting Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he had departed. So Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, those that were sitting around him, his associates, he asked them, he says, do you know this man? Kya tum Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in our time? Tum Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib ko jante ho? Do you know the position of Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi? He said, maine inke hujre ke into ko zakir paya. So much of zikr they used to make, that he says that the walls of his room, they also used to be engaged in the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our Hazrat mentioned to us regarding Hazmullah Inam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazmullah Inam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, in the latter part of his life, he had heart problems. So doctors said that after Fajr Salah, you must walk. Every morning you must walk a little bit. So Hazmullah Abdul Hafiz sahab Makki sahab Damat Barakatum, he was of approximately the same age as Mawlana Inam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. So on one particular occasion, he said, Hazrat, come, let's take a walk after Fajr. So they were walking. So on this walk that they had taken after Fajr, Mawlana Inam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned to Mawlana Abdul Hafiz sahab Daud Barakatum, he said that when Mawlana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi had prescribed zikr for me, how much of zikr? He says that 120,000 times I had to make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, not very, very far from the Nizamuddin Markaz. He says, it's the Humayu Qabristan. As you enter the Qabristan, he says that here there were two minaras that were there. So Hazrat Imamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah used to go to the top. And there he used to sit and he used to make the zikr, complete his zikr daily. In the months of winter, where Fajr is late, he used to finish at the time of Zohar Salah. And in the months of summer, when Fajr was early, 10, half past 10, 11 o'clock perhaps, he used to complete his zikr. Then only does a person reach that great level where he becomes Hazratji, where the whole world then follows such a person. So how important is the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? If you look into the Quran Sharif, there are various occasions where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention of excessive zikr. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions when a person completes the salat of Jumu'ah, a great ibadah, the day of Jumu'ah, the salah of Jumu'ah. But when a person leaves the masjid, فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ السَّلَاةِ, the salah of Jumu'ah has come to an end. It has now terminated. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah ta'ala says, go out in the earth. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and go and earn your risk, earn your sustenance. This is a special time to earn your risk. Allah ta'ala has kept special barakah in this. And then Allah ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, that make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala abundantly. So after the Jumu'ah salah, a great ibadah, here also Allah ta'ala says, make the dhikr of Allah abundantly. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, you're on the battlefield, you're fighting against the enemy. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O people of Iman, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَتَا, when you lock in combat with the enemy, remain steadfast. What will help you in remaining steadfast? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, make the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here also a person will be successful. So jihad also make the dhikr of Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions regarding Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam in the work of da'wat and tabligh, when they were sent towards Fir'aun, go and give da'wat to Fir'aun. At that time also Allah ta'ala says, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ بِآيَاتِ وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِ, you and your brother Harun or Musa, go and do not be deficient in my dhikr. They also make the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we find there are various occasions when it comes to Hajj. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتِ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ, you have completed Arafat. Arafat is actually Hajj. Al-Hajju Arafah. That a person that misses the plains of Arafat, his Hajj is incomplete. But after standing on the plains of Arafat, after the wukuf of Arafat, now you're coming back to Muzdalifah. When you're returning or going to Muzdalifah, so you also make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. When you complete your rituals of Hajj, فَإِذَا قَدَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, you have gone to Arafat, you have gone to Muzdalifah, you have come back to Mina now. Here also Allah Ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. In the days of Jahiliyyah, the kuffar used to gather, they used to speak of their forefathers. So here Allah Ta'ala says that now make the dhikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala even more than what these people used to make mention of their forefathers. So we find there is no occasion that is void of the dhikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, he says that a person that starts making the dhikr of Allah, he says from the first day that he starts making the dhikr, he says a person starts benefiting. But Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that we don't see this benefit. When a person makes the dhikr, you will not see that benefit immediately. This benefit you will only realize after a period of time. So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah gives an example of this. He says that a person, he's got a child. So this child of his is now growing. So as the child is growing, the father and the parents, they don't recognize and don't realize that this child is growing on a daily basis. Why the child is in front of you all the time? But when the child reaches a particular age, for example, the child is now 10 years old. So now when you look at this child and you think how he was born, how small he was, how the mother was feeding him, and look at how big he is gone. When he's 20 years old and he's married, now you'll say, oh, look where he is and where he was. For the parents, that was the child. Similarly, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah says, when we make dhikr, the first day that we start our dhikr, immediately there's benefit in the dhikr. But this can only be realized, that how much of benefit you have attained is after a period of time has passed. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah says, many a times a person, he wants to see the benefit immediately. I want to see current benefit. So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah says that little child, you don't expect the child to become 10 years of age immediately. No child will become 10 years immediately. He'll have to pass 10 years of his life. And after passing 10 years of his life, then a person will become 10 years. So similarly, after you continue with your zikr with punctuality, after a period of time has passed, now you will see the benefit of the zikr. One person, he wrote to Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he told Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he said, I'm making zikr, but I don't see the benefit in the zikr. So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave an example. He says that there's a tap, and this tap is dripping. So he says, under this tap, there is a rock, there is a stone that is there. So he says, this tap now, it continues dripping. He says, over a period of time, maybe some months have passed, maybe some years have passed, what will happen? On that rock, which was so solid, you will now find a little hole that is there beneath those drips. Why? Over a period of time, this water has been dripping one drop at a time. So Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi says that just as that last drop was had an effect in making this hole, Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah says the first drop also, this also had an effect exactly like the last drop had. So a person should continuously, therefore Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah says, a person should continuously make the dhikr of Allah. That a person shouldn't say when there's suhulat, when there's easiness, during the day if I find some time, then at that time I'll make the dhikr of Allah. Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah says, that shouldn't be the case. But a time should be fixed on a daily basis. That this is the time I'm going to make the dhikr of Allah. For example, whether it's after Fajr, whether a person feels that it's after Asr, whether a person feels it's in the evening, whatever time it might be. But this time must be fixed that at a particular time, I will make the dhikr of Allah. The second thing Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi says, a person shouldn't say that I'm not getting any enjoyment, I'm not getting any pleasure out of making dhikr. When I start getting pleasure, then I will start making the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah says, you start your dhikr. The pleasure of Allah is not maqsood, this is not the objective. But the pleasure of Allah ta'ala will come also. But initially you start the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So great importance has been attached in this part of reaching Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one form Hazrat mentioned, he said, zikr zakir ko mazkur tak poncha dete hai. That zikr is such that zikr will take a person to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi, Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub rahmatullahi, he asked Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi, he said, Hazrat, if zikr is so powerful that zikr can take a person to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what is the need for the shaykh? Just make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi said, Khaja Sahib, if you have a loaf of bread and you have a knife, can that knife then cut that loaf of bread? Obviously it cannot cut. There has to be a person that will now use that knife to cut that loaf of bread. So similarly, this is the work of the shaykh. Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that the zikr of Allah ta'ala shouldn't be so little also, that there's no exertion whatsoever. It shouldn't be so little. And the zikr of Allah ta'ala shouldn't be so much that a person gives up. He says, I can't manage, this is too much of zikr. Now who's going to control that zikr? That this must be a little bit of zikr, or this must be a lot of zikr? This is the work of the shaykh. The shaykh will look at the condition of the murid, and accordingly, the shaykh will prescribe the zikr. So zikr is so powerful that it will take a person to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Al-zakir kal-waqifi al-bab. That a person that makes the zikr of Allah, this is like a person that is standing at the door. He is knocking at the door. So a person that is standing at our door, he is knocking. Eventually one day a person is going to open the door. The door is going to open. So a man that is knocking at the door of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he's knocking continuously making his zikr, one day that door is going to open. And when that door opened, then a person, now he gets that nisbat, now he gets that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which he was looking for so long. This will come on zikr. Here again, Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi, he asked Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi, Hazrat, that how does a person know that he's now got that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi said that nobody has to tell you. That the day you became baligh, Khaja Sahib, did anyone have to tell you that you have become baligh? No, a person knows automatically that I have become baligh. Now, when a person, before he was baligh, he was flying kites outside. Before he was baligh, he was playing with marbles outside. Now a person has become baligh, he is no more worried about that. He is worried about playing with other marbles now. Now he's got other interests in life. Why? Because now he has become baligh. His entire outlook of life has now changed. It's an indication a person has become baligh. Before a person was baligh, he was wiping his nose with his sleeve. His nose is leaking, he wipes it with his sleeve. Now he has become baligh. Now a person is worried about his hairstyle. Now a person is worried about his shoes. He is worried about his dressing. All these things are concerned. Why? This indication now a person has become baligh. A person that has become baligh in the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he's got that connection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now a person doesn't enjoy drinking Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. Now a person gets his enjoyment in drinking the zamzam of Makkah Sharif. A person doesn't get enjoyment in eating the chips and the chocolates. Now a person gets enjoyment in eating the kajur of Madinatul Munawwara. A person that becomes baligh in the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now he gets enjoyment of waking up in the late hours of the night and making tahajjud and making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All this comes when a person gets that connection with Allah. And this will come when a person will make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In another poem, Hazrat says, zikr ka naga, ruh ka faqa. That a person that doesn't make the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the ruh, the soul of a person starves. One is the body that we got, and the food of the body is the food, the physical food that we eat. But the food for the soul of a person, this is the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is actually the remembrance of Allah. Now many a times a person, he wants to make the ibadah of Allah. He feels, I want to go for salah. But we find that nafs is holding a person back. But a person hasn't made dhikr, so the ruh has become very, very weak. So many a times he wants to go for salah, but the nafs now overpowers the ruh, doesn't allow him to go for salah. A person wants to fast in the month of Ramadan, but the nafs doesn't want him to fast. But when the ruh has become weak, what happens? Now the nafs will overpower the ruh. And if we made our dhikr, now the ruh has got strength. So what happens? The ruh now will overpower the nafs and will say, no, let me finish this ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Let me perform my salah. Let me fast in the month of Ramadan. So we find this will happen when the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is made. The greatest benefit is this. Quran says, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرُكُمْ. That you remember me, O my banda. Allah Ta'ala says, you remember me. I am remembering you. Some mashayikh have taken out one explanation of this. And they said that, remember me, you remember me. In favorable times, in good times, you remember me. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll remember you at the times of difficulty. It is mentioned that there was one woman in the time of Bani Israel. So this woman, she was walking and she had a child in the hand. She was walking through the forest. So as she was walking through the forest, one wolf came out and she got a shock. When she got a shock, she fell to the ground. So the wolf picked up this little baby that she had in her hand, in its mouth, and ran off. So at that time, that came out from the heart of the mother. So the moment that came out, one person came out from behind the trees and immediately in front of the wolf, and the wolf dropped the child. So he picked up the child, he brought the child, and he gave the child over to the mother. He said, here is your child. So the mother asked him, that who are you? Where have you come from? So he says, I'm a farishta. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent me. So he says, what, on what basis? He says, you remember that one day that you had a roti, and this was the only piece of bread that you had. And this piece of bread you were eating. At that time, a beggar had knocked on your door. He says, at that time when the beggar had knocked, that roti, so to say, you took it out of your mouth and you fulfilled the need of the beggar. Today, Allah Ta'ala has taken out this child from the mouth of the wolf and returned the child to you. So remember me at the time of difficulty. When it's time of easiness, Allah Ta'ala, at the time of ease, and at the time of difficulty, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, I will remember you. So this is one meaning of فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that remember me, I am remembering you. And other meanings have also been given of this verse of the Quran. So this is one is regarding the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Another aspect that is very, very important, that will make a person the beloved of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is our nawafil. That a person should be punctual on his nawafil, and because of this, a person will gain close proximity to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now there are various nawafil of the day. Let's take for example the king of all nawafil. The king of all nawafil is the tahajjud salah. Ya Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala commanded Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ. That part of the night, you read tahajjud namaz on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some say nafila, here it means it is optional for you. Like how it is optional for us. So here one meaning and tafsir has been made, it is optional for you. Others say no, nafila means zaid. It is one extra for you, meaning it is obligatory upon you. Besides the five farais, that the tahajjud namaz was obligatory upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So such a great ibadah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded to read tahajjud namaz. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qumil layla illa qalila, nisfahu awin qusminhu qalila. Ya also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed that stand up in the night and read the tahajjud namaz. It is mentioned a person that reads this tahajjud namaz, there are four promises that have been made for a person in the hadith. Number one, the first promise, da'bu salihin. This is the way of the pious people, those that are the salihin. This is their way that they read tahajjud namaz. Our Hazrat beautifully explains this hadith. And he says that a person that reads his tahajjud namaz, there's a register of Allah Ta'ala of the salihin. And the moment you read tahajjud namaz, your name is already entered in that register of the salihin. So you are amongst the salihin on the basis of just reading tahajjud namaz. Now the whole world, they are performing salah. And wherever you are in the world and you're performing salah, whichever namaz, whether it is farz salah, whether it is nafil salah, whichever salah it is, in our salah, everyone reads the tashahud. And in tashahud, we say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. That we are making dua that peace be upon us and the pious servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the moment your name is now in the register of the salihin, the whole world is making dua for you whenever they performing salah. To such an extent, Hazrat explains, he says that a person, you got a problem with him. You taking him to court, or he's taking you to court. Now y'all are going to court, but that person, when he's reading namaz, because you are salihin, he's making dua for you as well. So, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. So this is da'bu salihin, this is the way of the salihin. The second benefit of tahajjud namaz, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, qurbatul lakum inda rabbikum. That this is a means of gaining the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That here a person on the day of qiyamah, he will be VIP. He will have the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In this world, a person, he goes to the airport, he's got a first class ticket. So when he's got the first class ticket, when he comes to the airport, what do? This person, they take him to the VIP lounge. They put him in the VIP lounge. And they take care of your tickets. They get your boarding pass, your luggage. And they come and tell you, there's your boarding pass. That at a particular time, they will be boarding. You go to the boarding gates. So similarly, a person that reads his tahajjud namaz, this person will gain the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The third benefit, manhiyatun anil ithm. That many people say, I can't give up gunas, I can't give up sins. So here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that read the tahajjud namaz. That a person that will read tahajjud namaz, here a person will be protected from gunas, he will be protected from sins. And the fourth benefit, mukaffiratun lissayyi'at. That a person will be forgiven, this will be a means of expiation of his sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive a person of his gunas, a person that will read the tahajjud namaz. Now many a time the person thinks, who's going to wake up in the morning? In the months of winter, it's very, very easy. Tahajjud namaz, 5 o'clock, 10 past 5, goes right up to 20 past 5 also. But in the months of summer, it is very, very difficult for a person to wake up. 3 o'clock in the morning, quarter past 3 in the morning to wake up for tahajjud namaz. So here's it quotes the text of Allama Shami rahmatullahi, where he says, kullu ma sulliya ba'd al-isha fahuwa min al-layl. That whatever is read after the Isha Salah, this is regarded as Qiyamul Layl. The Isha Namaz is just the four farz of Isha. And the two sunnat thereafter, this is the Isha Namaz. When the two sunnat of Isha are performed, the Isha Namaz has come to an end. The Witr Salah is a completely different Salah altogether. It is not connected to the Isha Salah. The Fuqaha have written that a person that is certain that I can wake up for the for Tahajjud Namaz, then he shouldn't read his Witr Salah after Isha. But he should delay his Witr Salah to the last portion of the night. This is the teaching of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his last salah was the Witr Salah, after the Tahajjud Namaz. So so the Witr Salah is a different salah. So after the Sunnah, but generally we are not certain that we are going to wake up or not. So therefore for us, we should read the Witr Salah in the Masjid. So a person that after the two Sunnahs of Isha, a person reads two rakats of Salat al-Tahajjud, he will get the reward. Although the best is, a person wakes up after sleeping, waking up and then reading Tahajjud Namaz. But a person that reads his Tahajjud here, he will also get the reward. So this Hazrat gives an example. He says this is like a person that wants to eat. But in the evening what he's got? He's got dal chawal to eat. He's got dal and rice to eat. So here he says, no, I don't want to eat dal and rice. So the Tahajjud after Isha is like the dal and rice. And Tahajjud in the morning, in the early hours of the morning, that is like biryani. So a person in the evening, he says, I don't eat dal and rice. I'll eat biryani in the morning. So this says, no, don't do that. Many a time, if you leave this food out, and if you fall off to sleep, you wake up a little late. So you lost your dar chawal also. You lost your biryani also in the morning. So here in the evening, eat your dar chawal. Eat your dal and rice now. And when you wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, then there you eat your biryani. So this is a very, very great nafil, that is of the tahajjud namaz. The second will be the salatul ishraq, which we'll all perform now, inshallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned regarding this, that a person that remains in the masjid after the fajr salah, which is preferable, it's not the condition, but a person preferably, he remains in the masjid, in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he reads two rakats of salatul ishraq, he gets the reward of a complete hajj and a complete umrah. A person to go to Makkah Sharif, how much of wealth he requires, how much of effort he has to go through. But here every day, a person get the reward of a complete hajj and a complete umrah just by performing Salatul Ishraq. And thereafter, it is mentioned in the hadith, if a person reads two rakats in the early hours of the morning, it is whatever needs are there for the remainder of the day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes those needs easy for a person. All the needs of a person will be fulfilled. So this is regarding the Ishraq Salah. The third Salah is Salatul Duha, which is Salatul, what we call Chasht Namaz. So this also, a person after he completes his Ishraq Namaz, a person can read Salatul Duha, although the best time is around 9, half past 9, 10 o'clock, that's the time a person should read it. But a person immediately after the Ishraq Namaz, he can read Salatul Duha as well. It is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we have 360 joints in the body. And for every joint of the body, a person should give sadaqah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that to say Subhanallah, this is sadaqah. To say Alhamdulillah is sadaqah. To say Allahu Akbar, this is sadaqah. To remove an obstacle from the path, this is sadaqah. But if a person reads two rakats of Salatul Duha, then this is sadaqah for all 360 joints of the body. So they said many people, they're suffering from arthritis, they're suffering from gout, these type of illnesses. For them, just read Salatul Duha. Inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will relieve a person from these difficulties that a person is going through. And the fourth nafil of the day is Salatul Awwabin. Your Hazrat mentioned that every one of us, perhaps we are reading two rakats after the Maghrib Salah, which is the sunnat of Maghrib, the sunnat muakkada. Thereafter, all of us, we are reading two rakats of Nafil Namaz. Would this just join two more rakats? and make it 6 rakats after the Maghrib Salah. And a person gets the reward of performing Salatul Awwabin. In the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is mentioned a person that reads 6 rakats after the Maghrib Salah, that this person gets 12 years ibadat tawab. 12 years is in the ibadat of Allah. This is it mentions, he says that a person, you working for somebody, he pays you 10,000 rands a month. So he tells you that today you just work 5 or 10 minutes more. 5 or 10 minutes more, and I'll give you 12 years salary. Meaning 10,000 times 120 months. I will pay you now. So who's going to say no to that? What a offer we have got. That a person, just 5 minutes of our time will have to sacrifice, and such great salary. In another hadith it is mentioned, a person that has sins equivalent to the foam of the ocean, and that person reads Salatul Awwabin, that all his gunas will be forgiven. That is why another name for the salah is Salatul Tawwabin, those that make tawbah to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these are the basic nawafil by which a person will gain the closeness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these two things we should try and be punctual with. One is the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and the second is we should try and be punctual with our nawafil. Very briefly we'll read regarding our aqaid. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu al-khulu fi silmi kafa, that O believers, enter into Islam and submission completely. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Surely he is your open enemy. This verse commands us to enter into complete Islam. By adopting any other path, we will be following in the path of shaitan. Islam refers to a complete system of life, which has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. That Islam is a complete, in every aspect of our life, Islam has showed us that how we should tread the path. This includes aqaid, that is our fundamental beliefs, ibadat, various forms of worship, mu'amalat, our business dealing. Islam has taught us how to do our business dealings, mu'asharat, our social etiquette, and akhlaq, our character. When all of these are found within a person, his Islam will then be complete. Islam is only complete when all these various branches of deen, they are now found in a person. From the Quran and hadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is iman, and the greatest calamity is kufr. Everlasting success is the result of iman, while everlasting loss is a consequence of kufr. Righteous deeds are not only acceptable to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted. One is a person, he has to have proper iman. And then a person does righteous deeds, this is only accepted in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, whoever practices righteous deeds, whether it be male or female, while he or she is a believer, verily they will enter into Jannah. So with amal salihah, here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has coupled it with iman. So the iman of a person has to be in order. As for those whose beliefs are not correct, the disbelievers, their righteous deeds will not be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala in the year after. The kuffar also, they do a lot of work. Social work, they do a lot of social work. They are also kind to other people. A lot of good deeds, they also do. But on the day of Qiyamah, they're not going to get any reward for this. Why? Because the iman was not intact. The iman was not in order. Aqaid are like roots and actions are like branches. Just as how branches grow because of the roots, similarly beliefs are the source of actions. Thus the greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. Today there are so many beliefs that are not correct. So therefore we should be very, very particular that these beliefs are corrected. A person, he cleanses himself of all these incorrect ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, which in fact is the prime objective of coming into the world. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, give us tawfiq, inshaAllah.
أنا جليس من ذكرني دل مراه جايك ميدانه توهي توهو توهي توهو توهي تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آم و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 إِنَّ اللَّهَ عليه وسلم. إلهي دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو الہی رہو ایک خبردار تیرا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إلهي عطاه ذر درد دل کے مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا إله إلا الله 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 لا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں اے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بھر کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگ ہو اصل مجھے دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. یار رہے یا رب تو میرا اور میں بھی تیرا یار رہو مجھ کو فقط تجھ سے ہو محبت خلق سے میں بیزار رہو ہر دم ذکر و فکر میں تیرے مست رہو سرشار رہو ہوش رہے نہ مجھ کو کسی کا تیرا مگر ہوشیار رہو اب تو رہے بستا دم آخر ورد زباں اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ 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 رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نرائے مستانہ خوش می آئدم تا ابد جانا چنی می بائدم اللہ جل جلاله تعالى شأنه. الله الله جزء سما همدم نبود راز را غير خدا محرم نبود. الله 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 كيسا پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ اللہ ایچے شیری نستے نام شیر و شکر می شود جانم تمام. اپنے ملنے کا پتا کوئی نشاں تو بتا دے مجھ کو اے رب جہاں. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك وأزبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم لما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. The time of Ishraq has already come in. We should try and perform our Ishraq Salah, inshallah.